need to hear? What do I need to personally be investing in and going deeper in and trying to communicate from your heart to our church? And boy, this was very obvious to start off the new year. This was actually over a month ago. Just that I think we do an okay job. I mean, we do our best. We talk a lot and work pretty hard on improving, doing the best we can here at Neighborhood, on loving our neighbors as ourselves. But something we don't talk enough about that I want to spend the next good 4 weeks, and maybe we'll need to do more, I don't know, but let's take at least a month to start off 2019 and highlight those two words in that phrase, love your neighbor as yourself, that the Old Testament highlights, Jesus pulls and says, this is only second to loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The apostles, it's all through the New Testament with Paul and James and Peter. Loving our neighbors as ourselves. However, there's a big assumption in that phrase that I think the Old Testament community flowing into the New Testament community had a pretty good handle on, a lot better than I think we do. And that is having a solid God's eye view of who you are, and really more of a fuller love of their self that was easily translatable into loving our neighbors. I mean, and inherently, we all love ourselves in the sense that we prioritize ourselves. But, you know, and so, well, so prioritize others the way you make sure and take care of your own needs is the heart of that message. However, I think there's room, a lot of room, to explore and to go deeper into how valuable it is to understand and feel what it means to be a child of God and how loved we are, and how that's going to not just impact our own peace of mind and heart and healthy self-esteem and all those good things that we need, but it has a huge impact on all the relationships around us when we are feeling content and satisfied and alive about who we are. And we need to see the excitement of God's heart towards each of us. So learning to see ourselves through God's eyes is, and it's just funny, I heard, you know, that from the women's planning retreat, hey, this is what we want to talk about. And so you're going to get a double dose at the women's retreat on this topic. So we're just kind of getting warmed up here in January, though. But for everybody, we all need to hear this message. Now, maybe you've noticed this pattern a little bit in my messages, but something I like to do is I kind of get a feel for something that I feel is God's heart for a certain topic, and I try to articulate that in my own way, but then I try to see if there's somebody else out there that has, you know, articulated that, gives me a little affirmation, or maybe says it better, you know, so that I can, you know, use that, and also maybe brings a, you know, a little, you know, just a little more weight to a certain topic. Now, I don't know who in the world Adriel Booker is. She's an Aussie. She's from Down Under. But when I mean, this is after spending many hours, like, looking at different views on this topic. But what Adriel had to say, Adriel, I don't even know much about her, except she's a Christian author and speaker and but I love the way she put it. I'm like, Adriel, that's exactly what I'm trying to say. And so I want to read you this quote about what she has to say about how important it is that we have a good, healthy love towards ourselves. But I'm not talking about loving ourselves as in positive self-talk, good self-esteem, all the self-help stuff that's out there, or putting all of our own needs ahead of everyone else's. I mean the sort of loving yourself that comes when we're living truthfully in humility and vulnerability and bravery. The kind that comes from being secure internally, free from comparison and competition. I think that's the best phrase in this whole paragraph. I want to say it again. Free from comparison and competition. When you can really love yourself and feel good about yourself, you don't need to look around. You don't need to compete. And you're at peace with yourself. Man, I wish I wrote that myself. But anyway, that's why she's helping me out here. Okay, so knowing that we belong to someone, capital S, and accepting of the fact that we already are amazing. And I'm going to try to pound this into you over the next month. And it's going to be hard, I know, because I know how humble and how humble you are, but also how heavy life is. And none of you guys feel good enough about yourselves the way you should. I know. I hear your... I feel it. And I'm right there with you. I don't either. And we all need to hear this message. I'm going to do my best to just bring it loud and clear. How amazing. I see it in all of you. But nowhere near to the level that God sees it. And that's what we're going to be talking about. How, without, don't worry about anything, doing anything else to get better. Just right now, the way God sees you, that's what He's after. Just, you don't need to do a thing. You're already amazing. The kind that springs from understanding our identity in a great God that carefully created. She's good. I'm going to wonder if she's written any books. I really didn't go that deep, and I'm going to have to research Miss Booker here. In a great God that carefully created us with the purest of motives for the sole purpose of loving us lavishly and unconditionally. Is this too good to be true? I thought church was about how I wasn't living up to certain standards and I better, step up. I better get some things right. I better, get some things in order, do more. I mean, we make it a lot of things. But here's what we all need to live under the assumption of. And that's when that greatest command starts to really work. That as yourself really kicks in when you're convinced of this message and you're living in it. You've been created with the sole purpose of being unconditionally loved by the God of the universe. Do you feel that? You don't feel it enough, I know. And my job in this next month is to get you much further along in that feeling and that assumption of how amazing each of you are. I love how she ends this. Maybe the problem with the world, maybe the world's problem isn't that we aren't loving our neighbors as ourselves. Maybe the problem is that we are. And just think how much better a job we could do if we let ourselves be loved better, felt that love, that God is trying to communicate to us, but we put up a resistance. And again, I think we're a little scared of this message. It kind of sounds too good to be true. I mean, that might work for those cute, adorable kids over there, but I'm a grown up. I got some past. I got some baggage. Got some stuff I'm working on right now. I got some grown up junk that God's, you know, that's not something He's approving. He's not happy with me. He's not, you know, I'm a big work in progress. I got a long way to go before I can feel good about Him feeling good about me. Wrong. That's not the gospel message. The gospel message is right now how you are. The God of the universe is head over heels. And He's been that way with you ever since, and it's never going to stop. So where do we start with this? You've got to have a solid feel of this psalm in the Old Testament. And so this is I think it's a pretty classic passage. If it's not, it better be in your go-to scriptures. But I want to start off in what I think is foundational scripture that speaks to this topic of how into you God is. And I don't know, I do know, I look around, I know you guys are helicopter parents. I mean, you're even some of you that are a little old school, so to speak, you live for your kids. You live for your nieces and nephews. You live for, you know, your grandchildren. You've got everything caught up in that. You're amateurs. You're all amateurs. You've got no idea. You can't stay up all night the way God can. He didn't make anybody. He didn't like wire DNA together and stuff. Okay, so Psalm 139 is going to take It's going to take personal love, attention, care to a whole new level. So let me start off with this little snippet about how God has personally crafted you. And I love the way it talks about how God makes a soul, not just a body, not just our, you know, our stuff. Because a lot of stuff we inherit from parents and just human and all that. But what the psalmist is talking about here is your soul. For you created my inmost being. And that's the best way we translate that. But listen to this. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And it's kind of an interesting, you know, this is, we've inherited that King David wrote this psalm as amongst many of the psalms we have in the collection. Kind of a feminine way of putting something for such a patriarchal God in the Old Testament, which is fun. I love those verses that really show God's not, you know, this male dominant personality. You know, He's got both the fatherly and motherly sides to Him. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Anybody knit? Anybody got some knitting? Is that a lost art these days? Is that kind of... Okay. So we've got some knitters. You're probably going to guess. Rick's got no clue about knitting whatsoever. But I used to love when I was a kid, my grandma was always knitting something. And I asked my mom last night, because I'd seen it around. I'm like, hey, Mom, where's one of those blankets? Do you still have those blankets that grandma knit? So this is Sonia, my mom's mom. And I found my favorite one. She's still got all these. It's the reason I loved this one the most was it had this cool red, white, and blue border around it. But she just had all these colors. You know, they start off in the middle orange and see how it's all symmetrical. I just was so impressed. Okay, my grandma was not the most... My grandma was fun and sweet. It just blew me away that she could plan anything out. She wasn't, you know, analytical or logical by any stretch. But she... Okay, here's a good New Year's Day. Wait, just hold off on the blanket thing for a second. So New Year's Day tradition. In my mom's side of the family, it's kind of an Arabic, Middle Eastern tradition. The first person on New Year's Day to say Bustrainti Aleki. Did I get it right? The accent? Can you say it, Mom?
Say it.
Yeah,
say it. Bustrainti
Aleki. See that? I said it too, pretty good. Bustrainti Aleki means roughly the gift is on you, right? I mean, and so the first person, so if you say that first, the person you say it to is obliged to give you a gift. And it was just a fun way for my grandma to, you know, so me and my brother would try to be the first person to say Bustrainti Aleki. But here's where I realized, you know, my grandma's love for all the grandchildren, because later on in the morning I'd hear phone calls, you know, like my cousin's on the line, you'd hear this Bustrainti Aleki, and my grandma would be giggling, oh, you're the first one. You know, so we were all the first one. $5 bills, you know. Anyway, so, but I loved, and man, all the drool's been washed off of this, I assume, over many. I mean, I've napped on this Hummer for, you know, many a good nap on this, you know, grew up with this in our home. But the whole personal, that's what I love about this phrase, God just took time and thought and got his hands personally connected with everything about you. His personality, his dreams, his visions, his hands, all that kind of flowed through this whole knitting together of your soul, which is just full of all kinds of mystery and wonder. But the first part of it, I really want you to try to grasp, I'm trying to get my head and heart around it, is that God took time and personal work and care into making something beautiful and special and unique himself, that he made for himself. And that's you. And that is really amazing. You should never, me and you ought to never, ever get down on ourselves. Ever. We've been created in God's image by him. In a very personal, specific, custom, handcrafted manner. So that's the first thing that really needs to get our attention. Is we're very, very personal to him. And he's very hands-on in the very creation of our eternal person. But he gets better. And I love how the rest of this next part of the psalm goes, I praise you because I am mysteriously and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So David had a pretty good handle on this that I think we could learn a lot from. And David was no saint. And we've spent enough time, we did a whole series on his ups and downs, and there were a lot of downs. And he wrote this well after all that. And he's saying, you do some wonderful work. And God is very proud of his work. And just because of who he is and who you are, God is intrinsically, he can't help himself but be proud of you. Yeah, you're not. Okay, I want you to hear this message from heaven, and I got to get you into some healthy pride here. So we're going to have to figure out, I'm going to have to get you to think about something you feel really good about that you were directly involved in. Okay, so it's going to come to mind because you're all talented, gifted people, but you're also such humble Christ followers that you'll never let yourself talk or feel this way. But it's okay because this will give you a glimpse of how God feels about you. Where's my other? Okay. I had to dig this up. I'm glad I still have one of these. This is what I'm most proud about in my ministry career. Let me put it that way. I still run into kids and adults that were part of this mission trip. And I never worked harder on something. I never worked, put more thought. And I just felt God used every bit of what He's given me to offer into this is right after Katrina hit, about this time in 05. And so then in spring of June of 06, when things had, the waters had receded, took about 50 people out to New Orleans to help with the cleanup, including students and parents. And so the name of the youth group was 517. This is our New Orleans mission trip. And our little slogan was, "On earth as it is in heaven." That was kind of our purpose statement for the trip. Went out there ahead of time. I brought Courtney Cota out with me. We flew out there for a little pre-trip, you know, so we could see, you know, what the challenges were, you know, try to figure out where we would all stay, how we would do food, you know, all this stuff took, you know, a lot of time and planning, all because one kid in the youth group, when I said, "What are we doing for our mission trip next year? Are we going to Mexico? Are we going to Belize?" Start praying about it. And one kid said, "Well, can we help out with all that New Orleans stuff?" And I'm all, "I don't know. Let's look into that." And it took a lot of work, a lot of logistics, and a lot of prayer. And it was the hardest I'd seen any of these kids ever work. I mean, we got into some gross stuff. I mean, these are houses that were underwater and everything was mildew. I mean, you didn't see a cockroach. You saw like square feet of cockroach. I mean, it was nasty. And I don't want to make anybody queasy, but we got into some situations where you just had to walk outside the house. You know, we could do like 5 minutes in there. You know, I mean, it was pretty gnarly. But it was so rewarding, and I still run into people from that trip that said that's what helped me realize what life was all about. Meeting little Henrietta in her shiny white FEMA trailer, you know, that she was living in, and hearing her story, and helping her in those first few steps of her house, you know, trying to get it back together. But I'm proud of that. I'm proud of the fruit of that trip. I'm proud of what came out. I'm proud of the difference that it made. I'm proud of being able to say I was a part of that effort. And I just put so much of my personal energy, creativity, effort into that to not just make it a meaningful trip, but to make it fun. I wanted these kids to, you know, me and Courtney would plan something special every night, from, you know, just root beer floats to, we went and got those beignets at the little place in downtown in the French Quarter, and, you know, wanted it to be, you know, just an everything experience for these kids. And it was. Okay. Now you just got to take that. Okay, are you latched on to something that you've been personally a part of that it's like, man, Rick just got up there and bragged about stuff? I do, you know? I'm allowed to, you're allowed, yeah. You'd be proud of, you know, all the glory goes to God, but you were in on this. And He inspired you and you answered the call. You did wonderful work. Okay, that's what that passage is talking about. God's done some wonderful work making you. And He's super proud of that. And you haven't, Here's the false message. You think you've messed it up. You think you took something that started off good and you took it off the rails. And you've lessened it, or you know, messed it up, or something like that. David went way off the rails. And he's saying, I know that full well, that I'm wonderful. I'm intrinsically wonderful to you. You're still not convinced. Okay, I saved my toughest one for my best, I mean my biggest thing of ammo for this next one. But you've got to understand, right in your worst moment, your biggest failure, that you thought you're how did I mess this up? How have I gotten this lost? How can I be this disappointing? God's looking at you and his heart's just pounding out of his chest. He's so proud of you. It might hurt that you've kind of done some things, but it doesn't change how he just glows when he sees his kids. David goes on, how amazing are your thoughts concerning me, O God? How vast is the sum of them? Were I to try to get a handle on the number that we're talking, on the pace of your thoughts towards me, were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. That might not seem like a big deal where we live, but when you're living in the middle of the, you know, a desert region. Anyway, there's lots of sand. They would outnumber the grains of sand. And I love this picture he gives us. When I awake, I am still with you. And it's just this picture that as I'm sleeping, God's just... I do that all the time with my kids. You know, I lay awake at night. I'll go check on them and they're sleeping. That's... God's constantly caught up in you. That's all he thinks about. No. He's worried about, you know, all this stuff going on, and he's got to make new souls all the time, and he's got to, you know, assign angels to do it. The center of God's universe, and he's got to hear all the praises and all that stuff, and, you know, and the center of God's universe is you. He is entirely captivated by this amazing creation he has put together for all eternity, that he wants to lavish his unconditional love and attention on. That's it. No, he's got to make some new supernovas and stuff and start off a galaxy over there. Okay, I know this to be true because I'm no saint, but I know what it means to be entirely captivated. Did you guys get the Christmas card this year? I got extras of those too. Whoever is in your life, this could be, if you got a latch on, this could be a pet, for crying out loud. I was, you know, not even sure where to start here. But God... lays awake. Okay. Here's how I know this is true. I know they're cute. They're gorgeous, off the charts, right? They're no angels. Most of the time they're
not angels.
Not angels. They're all disrespectful and bad choices, rebellious.
You know, it's like, gotta discipline, gotta, you know, get me going all the time. And it, not for one
nanosecond does it ever change how just ridiculously gaga I am over each of them at any given nanosecond. And it has nothing to do with their behavior, their feeling of how they're doing in life, whether succeeding or failing or this or that. Completely not connected to anything that they do. It's just 'cause. It's just 'cause they're there. So I know that if I can feel like that, oh my goodness, how much more does God feel about you and me? And how entirely captivated is the best way I could put this. It's like I can barely, you know, think of any nothing else really matters. It's like I just want to ensure that these three lovely creations have the best possible everything that I could possibly contribute to them. That is how God feels about you. I'm absolutely, you need to be convinced. We all need to be absolutely convinced. Are you getting closer? And this is just one little passage. Okay, so I'm just going to share three statements here as we close. And as I was writing these, I'm all, Denise, can you read these? These seem too good to be true, but this is what I'm talking about. This is from the Bible. I'm allowed to say this, right? How come we don't say this more? The first one is, right now, not someday in heaven, not as you hit that spiritual milestone because you finally got something clicked spiritually for you, but right now, with all your, according to you, all your flaws and failures and all that, you are exactly how God planned. He knit you together. You're everything. And we're going to go more in depth over the next month on what it means to love ourselves enough to forgive ourselves, love ourselves enough to celebrate our failures. How does that work? I mean, there's a lot of good. God is in the business of bringing good out of bad. We bring bad into stuff, He just figures out a way to bring good. But we just kind of want to ignore, kind of move beyond that. No, you're probably missing some good stuff. Anyway, we're going to get into that. But you are exactly how God planned. Right now. You're the purple's in the exact right spot. Do you dare saying this? It's easy for me to say you, but to put it in the eye, it's a challenge. Let's all say it together. I am exactly how God planned. Boy, that first person really makes it a little more real. Say this one. I make God proud. Do you feel like you're going to get struck by lightning or something? Is that how bad this is? Is that how far away from how we're supposed to feel that we've somehow gotten? Say it again. I make God proud. It's true. Take it to heart. This is the best one. This is the best one, and it's the most true. They're all true, but it's the one I just feel the strongest about, I guess. Because, again, I know, and I'm not just talking about my kids. I feel this way about all you guys. You guys all bring something. I mean, this is a special part of the role I get to play as pastor. And just how you make me feel, there's so much pleasure that comes from the privilege of being part of your lives. You give God an enormous amount of pleasure. Your presence in the universe lights him up, and you fulfill his dream of getting to have you. Let's say this one. I give God pleasure. How can I don't know. I grew up. That can't be right. I know I've grown up. God has no needs. So how could I ever offer him anything? Well, sure. He can have no needs, but he can still receive and enjoy something he's given himself. He's given himself the gift of you. And it gives him great pleasure. More pleasure than anything else in this amazing universe. Okay, so we're going to say all three of these. You ready? Can you handle it? You know, the best week of your life. If you really take these to heart. I am exactly how God planned. I make God proud. I give God pleasure. And it's true. I don't care if you don't feel it right now. It's true. I want you to feel it, though. I want to feel it. I need this. I need this a lot. So help me with it this next month. Let's help each other. Lord Jesus, thank you that we have so much wonderful truth to hear and soak up. And Lord, let us be convinced inside and out of the pleasure you take in each of us and how all we need to do is we just need to be. Nothing we need to prove. Thank you that we're created for your pleasure. To enjoy you and to be enjoyed. Let that really soak in. Let's not worry about loving anybody else right now. Let's not worry about our neighbors or anything like that. We'll get to that. Help us to love ourselves. Because we know so much better, richer, deeper love will spring out of that. So help us to take the time to go deeper into your love and feel that all through us. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, let's stand as these guys lead us in some more worship and come to the communion table as you feel led. And come pray in the back of the room with our prayer team as you feel led.